Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb with some spices that they had prepared. They went to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' lifeless body. They expected to find a body that had already begun to rot and decay, which is why they brought spices with them. They went to the tomb expecting to find death. Instead, when they arrived at the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. And when they entered the tomb, they did not find Jesus' body. And of course, they didn't know what to make of this. Because Jesus was dead. They saw his body being placed in the tomb. The empire had used its ultimate weapon against Jesus. The authorities had silenced Jesus for good because that's just how death works. So, of course, the women were at a loss. They were confused. They were in doubt. They were uncertain about what could have possibly happened to Jesus' body. I'd imagine that there was a sense of fear, even a sense of panic. They were coming fresh off of the fear and the grief that had consumed them for the past 3 days, and so I'd imagine that they had a lot of questions. Questions like, what could this mean? Where is Jesus' body? Death is final, which means that Jesus couldn't have left on his own. So what did this mean for Jesus and for the other disciples? And as the women are taking in the scene of the empty tomb, two men appear in bright clothing, which I'm sure only eased their mood. And the men ask these women a question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus' disciples, including the women, expected death to have the final word. It was the narrative that they knew. Death is final. Death wins. Death is the ultimate weapon of the powers and the authorities, and there is no coming back from it. So the women came looking for Jesus among the dead because they were expecting to find him dead. They couldn't imagine anything else. And when they came expecting to find Jesus dead, they were asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I think that these are questions that we need to continually ask today. Why do we look for the living among the dead? Why do we allow death to have the final word? Does death have the final word? Because it sure feels like death has the final word a lot of times. Death is the most powerful weapon at our disposal. When we have an enemy that needs to be silenced, death is the ultimate way to silence them. That's why it's so easy for us to call for retribution with things like the death penalty or this myth of redemptive violence. When someone has committed a wrong either against another person or against a society, the best way to make that person pay for what they have done is to take their life. When the good guys kill the bad guys, justice has been served. And this justice is final. There's no coming back from it. There's no way that the bad guys are going to be able to retaliate against the good guys for it. They've been silenced for good. But death is not only final for the bad guys. Death is not only final for the criminal. It doesn't only enter the narrative when someone has done something wrong. Death interrupts every narrative. It silences every narrative. And because of this, a lot of times death is really unfair. It interrupts the narratives of beloved children and parents and siblings and friends. It moves in when it's least expected, and it shows no partiality to anyone. Death hurts. It is destructive. It leaves a path of grief and devastation in its wake. Death sure feels final. It certainly seems to have the last word. The death of a loved one changes us. It leaves us overwhelmed by grief. It makes the world feel like it's stopped, but at the same time, life seems to move on around us. It makes us feel like we are overwhelmed with every known emotion, and yet at the same time, we are numb and feeling nothing at all. It makes us want to be alone so we can cry and scream and fall apart, but at the same time, we want to be surrounded by family and friends. At the same time, we want to sit in silence. Death interrupts every narrative. It silences every voice. It ends every story. It certainly feels like death has the final word. Clearly, the women believed that death had the final word. The fact that they show up to the tomb with some spices that they had prepared tells us that they came to the tomb expecting to find death. They had no reason to suspect that they would find anything except Jesus' rotting, decaying body. And in Jesus' life, he had done many good things. He had taught and preached and healed people. He had befriended sinners and tax collectors. He had welcomed the marginalized and shared meals with strangers. But he had also challenged the wrong people. He didn't keep his mouth shut. He challenged the authorities. He challenged the empire. And so the powers and the authorities used their greatest weapon against him. On a cross, they took his life. The empire's final act against Jesus. There was no coming back from that, and the women knew that. So they came to the tomb with spices prepared to anoint a dead body. But they didn't find what they were expecting. Instead, they found an empty tomb where two men appeared. And the two men asked the women some questions. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He has been raised. Remember what he told you when he was still in Galilee? And suddenly, the women remembered everything that Jesus had said. They remembered Jesus telling them that he would be handed over and arrested and killed, and that after 3 days, he would rise. And when they remembered these things, they left the tomb to report these things to the others. Because memory is a powerful thing. Memory is more than recollection. It's a new insight. It's a new understanding. It's a new embodiment of that understanding. The women came to the tomb expecting to find death, and it was memory that reminded the women that even though it certainly doesn't feel like it, death does not have the final word. It was memory that allowed them to see resurrection. Death interrupts and silences and ends every narrative, but resurrection completely changes the narrative. Resurrection overcomes death's interruption. Resurrection strips redemptive violence of its power and authority. Death feels final and it hurts, but resurrection is final and it heals. Resurrection renews and restores and redeems all things. It renews and restores and redeems all creatures, all of creation, all relationships, all scars, all wounds, all things in heaven, all things on earth. The women came to the tomb expecting to find death. But once they were reminded of Jesus' words, once they remembered what Jesus had said, they saw resurrection. And once they remembered what Jesus had said, not by simply recalling it, but by actually understanding it, they were able to embody that memory by running and telling the others what they now knew. In the face of death, memory reminded the women that resurrection has the final word. In the face of death, memory reminds us that resurrection has the final word. And sometimes, like the women, we need to be reminded of this. That's what the whole season of Easter is for. The whole season of Easter reminds us of this. This is why we remember this story year after year, because it's our story. And it's the story that gives us hope. In the face of death, it can be easy to forget to remember our story. But the good news is that God is always willing and able to remind us when we forget our story and when we think death has the final word. God is not frustrated or annoyed or angry or disappointed in us when we forget our story. God continues to remind us because God understands how loudly death can speak. God understands how easily we can forget the truth in the face of death. God understands how painful death is. And rather than getting upset with us, God meets us where we are and reminds us of the truth. God was not angry with the women for going to the empty tomb expecting to find death. God met the women at the tomb to remind them of the promise of resurrection and new life. God continues to remind us because that's what the God of life and resurrection does. God reminded the women about the promise of resurrection, and then God reminded the disciples as well. Because when the women found the others and told them what they had seen, the other disciples brushed their words off as nonsense and didn't believe them. Because in the face of death and fear and grief, resurrection sounds like nonsense. But God wasn't angry or frustrated or annoyed or disappointed in the women when they went to the tomb. And God wasn't angry or frustrated or annoyed or disappointed in the other disciples when they didn't believe the women. The disciples' refusal to believe did not stop God from reminding them. Eventually, they too encountered the resurrected Christ. Because that's just what God does. When we need help remembering that death does not have the final word, God reminds us of resurrection. For the women and the disciples, God reminded them of resurrection when they encountered the empty tomb and the risen Christ. And for us, God reminds us with glimpses at resurrection. Things like new babies being born, or baptisms, or new homes and new jobs. Things like renewed and restored relationships with physical and emotional and spiritual healing, with tears and laughter and warm embraces, with new and rekindled friendships. With the ability to gather in person once more. All of these things are glimpses at resurrection. All of these things remind us that in the face of death, there is life and hope to be found. And that, Scottsdale, is good news. Memory is a powerful thing, and the call to new life that this passage gives us is the call to remember. It's the call to remember God's story and the call to remember our place within that story. It's the call to understand that even now, even in the face of death, God is doing a new thing. And it's the call to embody who we are as a people who hope in resurrection. It's the call to recognize the glimpses at resurrection that break in around us even now. And it's the call to celebrate resurrection even in the face of death. So remember. Remember who God is and what God has done. Remember who you are as God's beloved child. And remember the hope in the resurrection and the renewal of all things. God of life and resurrection, in the face of death, the Easter story helps us to remember. We remember that death does not have the final word. We remember that even now you are at work. We remember that you have a story to tell and you call us to take our place within that story. In the face of death, it can be easy to forget that resurrection has the final word. So thank you for reminding us of our resurrection hope. Thank you for kindly reminding us again and again without anger or annoyance or frustration or disappointment. Thank you for continuing to shape us into the people you call us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.